So our next item is going to be a report by regional board members, and I would like to start on my left, Ms. Gray.
I don't have anything to report.
Mayor Delgado. Ms. Cervantes.
No report.
Mr. Young.
Well, we did our field trip, and why don't you go, when you do yours, why don't you go ahead and discuss it? I'll add anything, to it afterward.
Okay. And
Dr. Hunter.
Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I normally include a brief update on the activities or actions related to environmental justice issues and how they relate to our different programs. And this morning I have three items I'm going to report on. First and foremost, we did report and we had a very thorough discussion at our March hearing with an update from staff on the environmental justice issues that we've identified in our region. As part of that action, we did conduct a second tour in March. At that tour, we did visit the San Gerardo community, and one of the items that became rose to a level of action, which is what these tours are about, was in talking with the community, we learned the details of the issue with their water system, which is a new well, which has provided a solution for not only clean water, but a sustainable water supply for San Gerardo. And apparently there is some question that perhaps the county is considering transferring this system to a private water purveyor. And so the question is, for San Gerardo, will that raise costs, and what does that mean for the way in which the water system operates currently? So the State Water Board members that were present at that meeting were able to ask State Water Board staff and Division of Drinking Water staff to engage with the county. And so that is an ongoing process, and we're looking forward to a good resolution for the community of San Gerardo. As far as other disadvantaged communities in our region, we have been fortunate to have the UCLA research program in phase two now funding with State Water Board funds from the cleanup and abatement account, looking at siting three remote wellhead treatment systems for nitrate contamination. They will be located at Blue Rock Apartments, Prior Farms, and Santa Teresa Park. Currently, that project is in their CEQA phase, and they're proceeding. And so there are many questions. This is an exploratory pilot project to determine whether or not this design for remote operation, which consolidates the management of these remote systems, for communities that have very few options to provide for nitrate-free or another contaminant safe drinking water. The third thing I want to talk about also touches on the water supply, water source, and clean water issues. And we all know that in the state of California, the governor signed legislation guaranteeing the human right to clean water. So in that effort, the board allocated funding, a small amount of funding, to the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water and the Cures Organization in order to conduct education outreach to identify and help advance the identification of people who have problems with their water. And they have done so. And so they've identified a small number, less than 20 residential residents are receiving replacement water at this time. The issue and the question that I have at this point, and which I know staff is working very hard to explore and continue to identify funding for this interim solution, no one expects that you can live on bottled water for any extended period, and yet some folks are. And those are the lucky ones, the ones that still do not know if their water is contaminated. They do not know what other sources or options they have. That's where the education and outreach comes in. So we are making progress. We're helping to open up this process in a way that is instructive for all of the agencies involved, and hoping to bring every resource we can into the problem-solving process of understanding what options these small communities have. And so with that, I'm going to end my report, but I do need to say that there are many more things we, as we heard in March, many more things that our staff is doing, and it really does cross all of our programs, and I think the integration of this issue into all of our programs is the most reasonable, I think efficient, and effective way to continue to understand, learn more, learn as much as we can, work with the communities, work with the municipalities and counties, and try to bring this discussion to action. So that's where we're at. Thank you.
Thank you for this comprehensive report, Dr. Hunter, and I'd like to see if my colleague, Mr. Johnson, has any updates on any meetings you attended.
I do. Oh, let me turn my mic on. So, let's see. I missed the last board meeting. I was ill, in March, on March, I believe it was March 7th, I participated in an environmental justice tour that I imagine was reported on at the last board meeting, and I won't take people's time with that other than to say that I found it very useful and informative. We toured San Gerardo, a small water system right outside of Soledad and Castroville. The other thing that I want to report on is on May 3rd, I took a, and this is a report slash disclosure, Council. I took a tour of the recycled water facility that the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency operates at the City of Watsonville sewage treatment plant. It is a disclosure because I learned subsequent to my participation in the tour that there is a waste discharge report from the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency that may make their permit a pending matter for the board. So I will, if and when that comes before the board, I will disclose that again. The tour was actually set up as a tour for the David Murillo, the regional director of the Mid-Pacific region for the Bureau of Reclamation, and Michael Jackson from his staff. And participants in the tour included Watsonville Mayor Felipe Hernandez, the Public Works Director and Wastewater Division Manager for the City of Watsonville, several board members from the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency, the Chair and Vice Chair, the General Manager of the agency, Mary Bannister, hydrologist and operator from the agency, and it was very interesting. We toured the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency, easy for me to say, has set up a tertiary treatment plant at the City of Watsonville's treatment plant, and they are treating with removal of sediment and disinfection, the secondary treatment from the plant, and shipping it to growers on the bluffs north and south of the Pajaro River on the ocean side of Highway 1, an area with real problems in terms of seawater intrusion. And those growers are using it as a substitute for some of the well water, which they would be pumping, as a measure to hold back seawater intrusion. And They've gotten, I think $20 million in funding from the Bureau of Reclamation. They were very happy to show off the project. And they had partnered with the city of Watsonville, interestingly enough, when they didn't have they were kind of embroiled in a controversy around their ability to raise fees and in a lawsuit. And so the city of Watsonville itself passed a bond measure to fund this system. And the most impressive thing about it, frankly, is that for the irrigation season, for half of the year, with what they've got coming online now in terms of a new tank, the entire output of the Watsonville sewage treatment plant is going through this secondary treatment and being shipped to growers for use in irrigation. And for that half of the year, nothing is going out the sewage outfall from the city of Watsonville. So that was pretty impressive. And that's all I've got.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's one way to keep me quiet. Thank you. My report, since our last meeting, I attended 11 different meetings in addition to weekly meeting face-to-face with our new executive officer, trying to help with a smooth transition. So on the March 29th, I attended in Sacramento the annual chairs meeting where all the regional board chairs meet together. And the highlights of the meeting included updates on the 2016-2017 budget, which, you know, it's basically in place. But so it's a little bit more of the after the fact of, you know, what is happening to that budget. But more importantly, discussions took place on the 2017-2018 budget, and I'm trying to identify the mutual priorities of every region. And this particular process is basically a first, where in the past, all budgets, allocations, decisions, strategies were developed from the state board in Sacramento. And this time, the regions are being more engaged in the process. So all the chairs were pretty pleased of this new level of engagement from the regions, because obviously, you know, budget is very critical because it ties directly to how many resources you have for each region. So we discussed also budget change process and some of the budget change process and concepts of what is being proposed. Some of it ties to the drought because, yes, unfortunately, you know, the drought continues. And as I was just discussing with, you know, someone in the room here, so I think, unfortunately, that's becoming the new norm. So we discussed that. Another aspect is the potential impact of cannabis regulation, because this year may be a year possibly where the people of a state will take a new position in terms of recreational use of cannabis, which will add a significant amount of needed oversight, because cannabis is an irrigated crop. It uses water, it uses fertilizers, it uses pesticides. So that was another item. The topic discussed by Dr. Hunter on drinking water, certainly another one, and the new and increased engagement of regional boards with the oil and gas aspects, where the Division of Oil and Gas, all aspects pertaining to water, groundwater impact, et cetera, groundwater extraction concurrently with oil, are now under the oversight of the State Water Board and the Regional Board. So that is a new engagement that also requires, you know, additional resources. And then lastly is looking at budget-wise, what would the impact, or will, I should rephrase, the impact of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act have on the regional boards? Because once SGMA takes place, there is a direct linkage to some of the potential activities within the regional boards. Some of it, of course, is offsetting aspects of groundwater extraction by further encouraging regionalization of water treatment plant, or as you very well described, Mr. Johnson, you know, the recycled water benefits, et cetera. So we see that being an increased amount of activity that will be under the regional water boards. Now, you know, State Board made it clear to us that SGMA, you know, is still under currently DWR. If you do have basins which are not meeting the deadline of June 30th, 2017, the state could possibly take the responsibility over reluctantly. But that remains predominantly a state board activity, but within regional boards, we do see that it would be potentially an engagement. We discussed also outreach, so we had an outreach session, and the outreach session was predominantly looking at how regional board members, each of us individually, can help sometime being the bridging between our staff, you know, the regulators, and then being a bridging with the community, with stakeholders, et cetera. So there were some aspects of it discussed in the aspect of environmental justice, but then we looked at some examples, some little vignette of case studies where it's engaging, for example, a county on a particular issue of promoting regionalization of water treatment plants, for example, try to be helping in these collaborative aspects. In fact, currently the annual meeting that brings all the regional board members together in Sacramento, we're looking at in the agenda of perhaps having a session specifically on these outreach and engagement to kind of help and further inspire board members from being active whenever they can, because obviously, you know, as everybody knows, this is a you know, strictly volunteer, and you know, it's really about each of us individually how much time we can spend in some of these activities. So then, last month, had a conference call, which included Mr. Robertson with the Region 2, with the San Francisco Bay Area region, and this call was about looking at various practices used in vineyards and wineries as it relates to some modification they're looking at doing in Northern California. So this was more of an informational exchange of information. It was not from a regulatory perspective. Then on the 5th of last month also, had a meeting with the city of San Luis Obispo in regard to recycled water. And the city of San Luis Obispo is engaging in upgrading their water treatment plant, also increasing the filtration to include denitrification, since some of that water is discharged in San Luis Creek. And right now they do have an exceedance of nitrate and total TMDL. So the meeting was to work with some of their consultants on looking at how beneficial use of recycled water can be made. And one of the challenges that the city and many other cities have that same challenge is in the summer, everybody wants that water. In the winter, when you have normal rain, you know, what are you going to do with it? And, you know, my point often is, you know, folks do not stop flushing in the winter. So what do we do with that water? So here was, you know, sort of out-of-the-box thinking on how that recycled water can be used beneficially in some areas of agriculture where you have, for example, permanent crops that require irrigation all year round. Citrus is one example. So that was what that meeting was about. And then the next day, on the 6th, I attended the San Luis Obispo Water Resource Advisory Committee. This committee is about 50 people attending these meetings. It's composed of all the water districts, the municipalities, water treatment plants within the county. And then on the 8th, I participated at a meeting held at our office at the Water Board with Dr. Hunter, Ms. Angela Schroeder, and Ms. Maria Kennedy. And this was on environmental justice, but looking specifically at the South County part of San Luis Obispo toward the Santa Maria area, for example, and also toward the Nipomo, and, of course, Santa Barbara County as well, where we have been focusing on the northern part of our Regional Water Board territory. This is looking a little bit more at the southern part. So there was some good takeaways. Ms. Kennedy is actually working on proposals to perform some survey that will help us identify a little bit more where the key issues are. And she actually has already started doing some, you know, what I'll call some drive-in around to, you know, get a sense of the needs for drinking water, because some of these wells in those communities are also contaminated. And this is basically a little extension of the presentation that Dr. Hunter did, but she was chairing this meeting. I'm just giving my little piece here. Then I attended on the 21st the San Luis Obispo County Sigma Water Resource Division meeting. And the County of San Luis Obispo, under the Public Works, has established a new division, which is a water resource division, in anticipation of the requirements of Sigma. So this meeting was looking at how can the county address its five basins, which have medium, high, and in some cases critical priorities. And as most folks are aware, you know, in Paso Robles, the proposal, the vote for formation of water district was rejected, should we say, very strongly by the voters, you know, by about 70% in both ballot measures. So the county is looking at, okay, where do we go from here? Because we look at the timetable, and, you know, June 2017, as everyone knows, the time flies. So that was what that meeting is going to be was about. And in a couple of weeks, the water division of a water resource division of county is going to make a presentation to the County Board of Supervisors on how to address a master plan of meeting Sigma requirements in their five particular basin, although some of them are in adjudication, so it kind of takes a different life, but in that respect. Then I attended a very pleasurable event in Los Osos, and that was on the 22nd. And this was the ribbon-cutting ceremony of a brand-new Los Osos water treatment plant. So it was quite nice to look around and see all smiling faces. So we had a tour. Of course, had quite a few representatives from the legislators attending this meeting. And I was told, in fact, yesterday when I attended another meeting with the County of San Luis Obispo, right now they're tracking about 12 connections a day of connecting the septic, the on-site water treatment systems to the sewer. And they're accelerating these rate of connections. So anyway, that was a very enjoyable event, and I was joined by some of my colleagues of our regional board who came also. Mr. John Robertson was there, and actually we had one of our previous executive officer, Mr. Roger Briggs, who came also because, you know, this project goes way, way back from, you know, the days he was with our agency. So a lot of all familiar faces. Then the next meeting was on the 27th, and that was a field trip, which included Mr. Young and myself, and staff included also some of our staff representative, including Mr. John Robertson. And this was to review the work that has been performed so far for channel maintenance on the Salinas River. So what we did, we toured the outside embankment and went all the way to the riverbed itself, and the focus was to see how the treatments and eradication of the Arunda was taking place. And as everybody knows, Arunda is a very stubborn, persistent, noxious weed, not very easy to get rid of. So there was quite a bit of work that had been done in removing the Arunda and basically mulching it. But then we already saw beautiful little young green sprouts of Arunda saying, "We're back." So it's probably, you know, it's going to take a couple of years more to finally have a full eradication. But this was interesting for Mr. Young and myself to actually see on the ground what had been taking place and what were the precautionary measures taken, you know, environmentally speaking, to still protect, you know, the remaining portion of native trees and non-invasive species in these embankments. And then on the 1st of this month, which was a Sunday, I was asked to attend a community meeting at Price Canyon. Price Canyon in San Luis Obispo is in the Edna Valley. It's an oil extraction facility. And the meeting had been organized by community members and also with Supervisor Adam Hill. They asked me to come as a bit of a liaison with our regional board, and folks were expressing, you know, their concerns and question about what's the linkage between the oil extraction facility, aquifer exemption, the SGMA, because the Edna Valley is a medium priority, and how all these things tie together. Then on the 2nd, on Monday, I was asked by the supervisor of San Luis Obispo, Supervisor Debbie Arnold, to attend a brief meeting in her office, again in regard to SGMA, and seeing how perhaps the county needs to review its position on addressing countywide the basins which have been identified to be stressed. And then lastly, sorry, there's quite a few meetings here. On the 4th, I also attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee, and that one was a latest update from the County Public Works on their budget to address some of the assessments that will be needed to comply with SGMA. So I apologize for these lengthy report, but, you know, I think sometime in these challenging times, you got to, I call it, put your foot to the pedal to the metal to, you know, help get little jump starts wherever possible. So thank you for your indulgence. And.